So Christians see all of this as the fundamental framework, but what they single out more than Jews do is the promise made to Abraham. When Jews look at the story of Abraham, the tendency is to focus upon the circumcision as the premise of the Jewish way of life. When Christians look at the story of Abraham, they look at the promise of the blessing that is to come upon all nations, Gentiles. And they see that promise to Abraham as being fulfilled in the Messiah, Jesus, and in the gift of the Holy Spirit that has been poured out on people after the resurrection of Jesus. So even though Christians share all of this narrative material, they look at different things, emphasize different things, and read it from a very different perspective. In particular, Christians read the prophetic literature of Israel very differently, especially Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, the four major prophets. They read them not only in terms of ancient social and religious criticism leveled by the Jewish prophets against corruption and idolatry within ancient Israel, but also in terms of foreshadowing or predicting the future and what will happen in Jesus, the Anointed One. To be sure, Christians like Jews read the prophets Amos and Jeremiah and Isaiah as powerful voices of reform, as voices that criticize the worship of other gods in ancient Israel and the manifestation of that worship in social oppression, in which the rich triumph over the poor. And the prophets call to return to covenant, to return to this relationship with God, which is expressed not in ritual worship, but in social justice. Christians share that reading of the prophets with Jews, and in contemporary Christianity, that reading of the prophets has been very, very important. We'll talk more about that later when we talk about Christian morality. But from the beginning, unlike Jewish readers, they see in passages of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, glimmerings and hints of their fuller meaning in the future. So Christians think of the sayings of the prophets as being fulfilled in Jesus. In other words, these are open-ended texts which find that point forward to a later historical realization. Jeremiah 32, for example, has the prophet talking about a future new covenant that God is going to create with humans. Not a covenant of external observation, but a covenant written internally in the heart. Well, this notion of a new covenant obviously runs all the way through the New Testament, which is another way of translating new covenant. This sense that what Jeremiah foretold is now happening. Not a religion of external observance, but a religion of internal transformation. So that, as Jeremiah said, no man will have to say to his neighbor, seek the Lord, because everybody will seek the Lord internally. Or in the prophet Isaiah, in chapters 52 and 53, who speaks of a mysterious person, a servant, who suffers innocently in behalf of others. And because of that mysterious, innocent suffering, other people are put in right relationship with God. There is no Jew of the first century who read that passage as being about a Messiah. Certainly not an individual Messiah. They read it as being about Israel's triumph over other nations. But Christians, after the resurrection, in light of the way that Jesus suffered and died, read Isaiah 52 and 53 as virtually a script, which is enacted in the account of Jesus' suffering and death. Likewise, they saw in certain Psalms, Psalm 22, Psalm 69, indications of a person who is innocent, who is beset by enemies and oppressed and suffering, and even cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet, who is approved by God and is vindicated by God. Now these Psalm 62, Psalm 69, Isaiah 52, 53, Jeremiah 32, and many other passages were not read by Jews of the first century as foretelling a Messiah, but were read by Christians in light of their experience of Jesus' death and resurrection as pointing forward to their realization. So the phrase, the fulfillment of prophecy, is a key phrase for Christians when they read what they now call the Old Testament in light of their readings, which are a New Testament.